This morning, Scripture is going to be setting the general tone for today's message. What Julia has to bring us is not an expository sermon like you're used to here at Tabor, but it will relate to what you're about to hear in that it is an example of what can happen when the message of these verses are heard and put into practice by a congregation. Our first verse comes from Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. And it is a verse that underscores both the reason for Christian education and its wonderful result. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Now I'm going to read that again for you. Train a child in the way she should go, and when she is old, she will not turn from it. Truly, that verse speaks to both boys and girls, men and women. Our second verse is from Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 6. Here Jesus is emphasizing for us the importance for how the community of faith handles the young, both the young in terms of age, but also the young in terms of faith development. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea." How important was Christian formation of the little ones to Jesus? Marvelous things happen when the church believes that when you train a child in the faith, it has a lasting effect. When a church invests in Christian education and formation of children, knowing that there will be dividends paid throughout the life of such people. And yes, Jesus does give a word of warning. He lets us know with what care the training of people in the faith should be taken. Tabor Church has a marvelous history of training young people in the faith. I've served numerous churches as a United Methodist pastor. We move around, which is why sometimes people confuse you for the previous pastor. It's a compliment. And I can honestly tell you that no church that I have known has sent so many young people into mission. Some full-time, some short-term, some around the world, like Brazil, like China, some right in our own backyard. There's something that God has going on here in this church that prepares young people to serve the Lord Jesus Christ in self-giving and meaningful ways. And this morning, you're going to hear from one of them. Julia Stackhouse is a senior at Souderton Area High School. Her plans are to go into nursing. She enjoys country music. Her parents are a little surprised by that, since no one else in the family enjoys country music. And she has taken upon herself to become involved in a very significant ministry. Now, I think That in and of itself is worthy of note. When a young person with a myriad of options before her, many of which could center upon herself and her own satisfaction, decides to spend precious time and energy serving others, especially the population that you will be hearing about today, that bespeaks of Christian formation in that person's life. Wouldn't it be marvelous if all young people decided that the best thing to do with their time and energy would be to serve others? How could we even make this happen? Well, the answer is Christian education, training people in the ways of the Lord. There's a great way to change the world. So without further ado, I give to you our own Julia Stackhouse.
Good morning. Today I will be sharing with you my experience volunteering at a Johnny and Friends family retreat for 1 week this past summer. For any who may not know about the Johnny and Friends organization, it is an international disability center and advocate organization for people with disabilities, the founder and CEO being Johnny Erickson Tada. In 1967, 17-year-old Johnny Erickson was injured in a diving accident, which resulted in quadriplegia and the use of a wheelchair for the rest of her life. Johnny was paralyzed from the shoulders down and was only able to move her head and slightly her shoulders. With much rehabilitation, she was able to learn how to move her arms with the help of braces by retraining herself to use her back muscles to lift her arms. During her long rehabilitation, she also learned how to paint with a brush between her teeth. Her high detail fine art paintings and prints are now well sought after and collected. Johnny has made a huge difference in the world of painting, writing books, supporting those impacted by disability, and many others. But I think the most impactful ministry of hers is her love of God and using the situations that God has planned for her and using them to expand the kingdom, being sure to give him all the glory. In 1982, Johnny married Ken Tada, and they have been serving God through their ministries even to this day. One of those ministries being the family retreats that they created for families affected by disability. This allows those families to have a change of pace and a place where they can interact with God's people and grow as a family and in their faith. Here's an 8-minute video that will show the true impact of the family retreats that they have on the families, and after that I will be sharing with you my own experience volunteering at a Johnny and Friends family retreat. All right, so originally I had signed up to volunteer for a family retreat at Spruce Lake in the Poconos because I had heard great things about the retreat, that it's a lot of fun and you get to make great connections with very diverse and amazing people. Little did I know what God had in store for me that week and the lasting impact the experience would have on me. The title of a volunteer at Johnny and Friends is a short-term missionary, or an STM. After being accepted as an STM, we get to the retreat that day, the day of before the families arrive, and we go through a training where we are assigned a buddy as a camper to be a friend with and stay with them throughout the week. Every year, there is a different theme that's the basis of all of the lessons throughout the week, and this year it was Psalm 23, which reads, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So once we were assigned our buddy, we went through a day of training which involved splitting up into groups according to the disability that our buddy had. There we learned how to work with people of that specific disability and also learned how to be mindful of how to properly approach the campers and families that live lives vastly different from many of us. Before we went out to welcome in the families, we went through a commissioning ceremony. Along with the ideas of the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, the STMs and leaders hold a ritual where water is poured over our hands to represent the cleansing of our hands that will be touching the lives of many people in the week ahead, keeping the will of God in our hearts to make disciples and share the love of Christ with his people. So usually as the families arrive, everyone stands out on the lawn of the front building holding signs of the family's name, much like in the video, but for us that day it was pouring. But that's okay, because when a family pulls up, we cheer for them and the campers just love it, and it makes the family feel appreciated. However, since many of the campers are sensitive to loud noises or intimidating new environments, the family is asked before they pull up if they prefer a loud welcome or a quiet welcome. And actually, this is applause in sign language. But no matter what type of greeting they receive, the campers just absolutely love the fact that they're being cheered for, and it shows them how much their arrival has been anticipated. And by the way, there aren't very many pictures of me and my buddy, but I'll explain that a little later. So how the week is set up is that the campers are split into groups depending on their age, and the ages can range from about 4 years old to adults. They stay in these groups pretty much the entire week, and they have program sessions, which may include Bible lessons, singing, crafts, and others depending on the age group. There's an incredible variety of fun activities that the campers can participate in, such as swimming, boating, golfing, zip line, rock climbing, power swing, and many other activities as well. Something cool about this being a family retreat is that the siblings of the campers with disabilities have their own programming groups as well. These siblings often receive their own STM, because oftentimes at home, it's common for them to be neglected because of all the attention that their sibling with a disability requires. So family retreats really try to emphasize the importance of a family as a whole, placing equal importance on each child. Throughout the week, the parents are in small groups that they have many fun planned activities, such as an evening gala, but they also have lessons on the importance of keeping a strong faith throughout their daily lives, even though they may often feel so weak, stressed, and even sometimes underappreciated at home. Many parents may wonder, why me? Why my child? But it's important for them to realize that God is in control and is always with them. That's why this week is really a retreat for the parents spiritually, and not to mention, they do get the children taken off of their hands for a week. To pamper the families even more, they're offered amenities that are completely free of charge, such as haircuts, waxing, manicures and pedicures, and massages. As volunteers, we got a few hours of much-needed free time in the afternoon each day. Even though we were supposed to be relaxing, some of us chose to take the opportunity to go on a hardcore hike up a mountain. And even though I received about 12,000 bug bites, it was still an incredible hike because there was so much beauty surrounding us. Each night after we sent our buddies off with their families, us STMs got some more free time, and we enjoyed a lot of volleyball games, which could get quite intense, but the free time was nice to have. Each day, there was a designated time for worship where everybody, including the campers, siblings, parents, and volunteers, were invited to spend some night in singing and worship. Each night, there was a different event planned before the campers were sent back to their families. And one night, it was square dancing. One night, it was campfire night, where there were skits performed. A movie was played, and wagon rides were offered around the campgrounds for campers and their STMs. So one of the highlights of the week was definitely the talent show. Any camper could participate in it, and it was truly inspirational to see these people, who are so often underestimated by the world, show off their gifts that God has given them, that have the power to put a smile on anyone's face. I never got the chance to meet this man, and I don't even know his name, but he was definitely my favorite act of the night. What we saw was completely unexpected. He rolled up to the stage, receiving assistance from a family member to pull up to the piano, and it appeared he had a restricted mobility of his hands and fingers. But when he began playing, I was truly impressed. When he opened his mouth and began singing, I was completely blown away. He was singing Be Thou My Vision and accompanied himself on the piano completely by memory. That element of surprise was impressive by itself, but what truly touched me was the words he spoke. As I was experiencing this performance, I realized that this man lives out the words he was singing. He is restricted by his disability, but the Lord is his mobility. Here's the last verse of the song. High King of Heaven, my victory won, may I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still me by be my vision, O ruler of all. I realized that people with disabilities are often judged by others as incapable, and sometimes it's hard to see that they have a purpose on this earth just like the rest of us. But they do, and for a lot of these people that are disabled that I've interacted with, they actually have an incredible joy in them that is unbiased and just seems to radiate out. But sometimes it can be hard to look past the immediate judgments we make. Just how I was not expecting much when this man first came on stage, but I was proven wrong, and Jesus spoke through him. Throughout the week, every volunteer and family member had something called a happy gram folder. We were to write a happy gram to someone when we wanted to encourage them or just let them know that they're appreciated and loved. At the end of the week, we were able to take them home and read over them, which was really sweet to read and also bittersweet at the same time. So now about me and my buddy. This is Brandon. Brandon is 17 years old and has autism and intellectual disability. He is unable to talk, but he is very mobile. Brandon's family has been coming to these retreats for many years now. However, as each year he gets older, it gets tougher. Not only does he get bigger and stronger, but he becomes harder to control. This is why another STM was partnered with Brandon. His name is Andrew, and he's 20 years old. Brandon's parents prefer to sign Brandon to a female and male pair because sometimes Brandon responds better to the presence of a female and sometimes to the presence of a male. Since Andrew has volunteered at the retreat many times before with his family, they have known Brandon for a while now. When I first found out my buddy assignment, Andrew's mom came up to me and told me I would probably not be able to build a relationship with Brandon. I grew discouraged at the sound of this because that was the entire reason why I thought I was coming to the retreat in the first place. When I first met Brandon, I was honestly a little scared. He made his presence known when he entered the room, but when I looked into his eyes, he seemed detached from the world. Little did I know what God had in store for all of us the rest of the week. On my application, I could choose the energy level preference of the buddy I would receive, a roller or someone in a wheelchair, a stroller, somebody that could walk, or a runner. I chose a runner, and boy, did I get a runner. It's not like he would try to run away from us. He would just go wherever he wanted to go, and there was no stopping him. By the end of the week, Andrew and I had walked with Brandon in his wagon for a total of about 45 miles around the camp. It was quite the workout. Even though Brandon can understand some things, he doesn't grasp very much and is unable to sit through any programming. So Andrew and I had quite a different STM experience than the rest of the campers that year. We never attended any of the activities that the other campers participated in, with the exception of a few, such as the talent show. So instead, we spent a lot of time outside and hanging out in the hallways. And because of the need to really keep up with Brandon, we often got the help of some young adult leaders that Andrew and I got to bond with. As the week went along, we began to find what Brandon enjoys and what keeps him entertained. So you know those back massager toys that you find at Five Below? Well, we found one of those in the nursery and realized that Brandon really enjoys the vibrations of the toy skidding under the wagon wheel. So that was a fun pastime. There is a snack shop at the camp, and we also took the opportunity to give Brandon some ice cream treats throughout the week to help keep him happy. While moments like these were quite enjoyable, the entire week didn't go that smoothly. Over the course of 4.5 days, Brandon had a total of about 18 tantrums, And these weren't your average 3-year-old kid in a candy store tantrums. They were tantrums that resulted in a thrashing of his body into any object that was around. He would groan out and gnaw at his hand, and you can just tell he was in pain, which is understandable because it's almost as if he's trapped in his body. He can't express himself like you and me, and there was nothing we could do when he would have these fits. We just had to let them resolve themselves. Experiencing those tantrums was honestly quite frightening and heartbreaking. It was hard to experience it for a week, but Brandon's family experiences them all the time, which really puts things in perspective. While it's easy to see Brandon at these times and define him by his disability, but it really took the time with him and the eyes to see how Jesus sees him to see the beauty. We began to see a goofy, fun side of him. We began to see what makes him laugh and what makes him smile. And even though he hardly ever makes eye contact, we began to see that he actually did. He makes eye contact with us when he was connecting with us, and he recognized us as a buddy and a friend. So in the end, we did the impossible. We connected with Brandon, even though it was said it couldn't be done. It was just in his own unique way. And it really took the power of Jesus to see the beauty in him when our hearts so easily hardened at the sight of his disability. So every year, on the last day of the week, a few hours before we say goodbye to our buddies and their families, some of the STMs wake up at 4:30 a.m. and go on an annual hour-long hike up a mountain in the dark to see the sunrise. Getting to the top of the mountain made it all worth it. That week was just like climbing up the mountain. We arrived at the base of the mountain in the dark, not knowing what the week would entail. The week was one of the most challenging weeks I've ever been through, but it really took God's strength and providence to get me through to the top of the mountain in order to see things more clearly, to see the true beauty from the top of the mountain in the daylight, and it took God's strength and providence to see the true beauty in Brandon through his eyes. Toward the beginning of the week, I really wanted to be anywhere else but there, but I had to trust that there was a reason for me being there. At some point, some of the returning STMs were telling me they have no idea why the retreat leaders would put me, a first-time STM, with the most challenging camper. But I knew that God had a plan, and he put Brandon and I together for a reason. I still may not know what that might completely be, but at least I can come away from this experience knowing and trusting that the Lord is our vision, the Lord is our shepherd, and he has the power to reveal to us beauty through his eyes when it's hard for us to see any beauty at all.